Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
Hello, Tommy Dasilo. My name is Ben Vanell, and with us as always...
Happy New Year, everybody. It's me, Adam.
More like crappy New Year.
Dude, I want to start 2016 over again.
New Year, same bullshit attitude.
Nah, new me.
Okay.
I got an Apple Watch.
Yeah, yes.
Didn't you already have an Apple Watch?
Nah, look at that one.
Yeah.
It's new.
What did you have before?
I had a Fitbit for a while.
Oh, but,
yeah, that's right.
It didn't really work for me.
Right.
It worked. It functioned.
My friend got a Fitbit for Christmas, and she was at a New Year's Eve party.
It wasn't like one of those pointed gifts, was it? Of like, you need a Fitbit.
It's a hard one, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like a gym membership.
Yeah.
You really got to be careful.
Oh, yeah.
But she was showing it off to someone, and they were looking at it, and they're like, a normal heart rate is like 70 to 80. Yours is like 120. What did you do before you came here? And then she remembered she'd done heaps of cocaine before turning up to this party.
She remembered?
Like, yeah.
How is that not at the front of your mind after you've had it?
Very confidently showing off the Fitbit.
Yeah.
Fitbit. Get a look at it.
Surely not the Fitbit. No one shows that
off. You can run through your schedule of the day like 40 times in a second.
Yeah. Fitbit, let me just wipe off whatever this residue is and have a look at what your heart rate might be.
I mean, it's got a glass face, so it would be pretty good for doing it.
Why do you think I bought a fucking Apple Watch?
The big one too.
Uh-huh.
The big boy's one.
Dude.
I got the big one. I wanted to get the little one, and the guy in the shop was like, oh, I think you should probably get the big one. I'm like, oh, I mean, I'm pretty small. I don't think I need the big one. And he goes, trust me, you'll get the small one and you'll regret it. And I don't want you to come in here and complain to me about how you've got the wrong one.
Wow.
Like accusing me in the future of coming in and throwing a temper tantrum in at JB Hi-Fi.
Huh.
It's a weird technique, but it worked. I bought the big one.
It sounds like the best salesman in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to come in here bitching and whining about getting the wrong TV.
Fuck.
You fucking idiot.
Yeah, I guess you don't have to buy the house, but 3 days from now when you come around to my real estate office and you tell me, I'm homeless, I've nowhere to live and it's your fault, I don't want to hear it.
Mm. Also, yes, I do get a small commission, but that's not
honestly,
relevant.
That saying that and making me... think about having to go back to the place and like, oh, I've got to make another fucking trip all the way there to complain about this fucking watch.
Mm. Yeah, but I wouldn't go back and complain because it's like even if I did down the line go, I wish I had a slightly bigger one, I'd go, well, I paid less for it, so that's fine.
Exactly.
And if I do want to replace it, here's this simple process with a different department.
Yeah.
Mm. He wouldn't be seeing you. They wouldn't be like, all right, get him in here, the man who made the original sale.
That is pretty great. Yeah. Just as I'm coming down the escalator, just well. I've got a cranky look on my face, arms folded, bag slung over my shoulder. I wish I had the small one, though. There is literally no point to having the bigger one. There's no...
My big fat fucking fingers don't... that's the reason I got the bigger one.
Yeah.
Because my big fat fucking wrists and my big fat fucking fingers.
Yeah.
And your big eyeballs, they need bigger things to look at.
I can only see so much light with these huge eyeballs.
That's it.
And little tiny bits get missing.
Mm. Do you... This is on me for not doing the research, but I don't know what I was expecting, but I really thought it was going to be able to do more than it does.
Mm.
You get it and it's like, this kind of doesn't really do anything.
Like, it does stuff. I've got
it's a good fitness tracker, and that's about it.
I've got a little Wikipedia app on here.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
And so, name, let's do a video game you want to know about.
Okay.
Okay, the Last of Us Part 2.
The Last of Us Part 2?
Yeah, I said that already.
But I said it out loud to search for it. You can talk to your watch like you're fucking Maxwell Smart.
Yeah.
The most modern man
but
in
you
the
have,
world.
But you have to talk to it.
No, you can scrape around on it as
you
well.
You can swipe around?
You can swipe it.
I thought it was going to be able to play games and shit for some reason. I don't know. I just thought that's part of why I wanted the big screen. But then there's no – you can't – it doesn't – nothing comes – nothing really comes up on it.
Did you mean a series of unfortunate events TV series?
No, I don't think you did.
I don't know why that is on there. But yeah, I've got Last of Us here. Last of Us 1 only. And it's an action-adventure game developed by Naughty Dog and published by Sony Computer Entertainment. It was released for the PlayStation 3 worldwide, 7:22 p.m.
Okay, for the rest of our Naughty Dog premium Bandcamp episode.
Read off of my watch.
Well, that's pretty cool. You've sold me. I'm going to get one of these big watches now.
So I can look at Wikipedia and read the first 8 sentences about Albert Einstein.
Yep. Yeah, speaking of the Bandcamp and all that sort of bonus content-y stuff, we mentioned this last week, but we've made a change to the Patreon.
Yes.
If people wanted to contribute to that, it's now for $10 a month. You get an extra episode every week. We were doing one a month, and now we're, we're doing a little extra thing, and there's been a very rapturous response to that so far.
Yeah,
agreed. People pretty stoked.
Lots of people jumping on board, and yeah, lots of people who are already on board. Seem happy.
The weekly release schedule is a time-honored model that has been in practice for centuries.
I think
no, it wouldn't have been. Probably started in the 20th century.
Yeah, what was the first thing to do things weekly?
No, because Dickens used to release his short stories in the newspaper.
Really?
Yeah.
And how often was the newspaper?
It's every day.
Was it back then even? How regular were the printing presses?
I think it was daily, but he may have released them monthly now that I think about it.
Yeah, I doubt that he was writing one every day like, a fucking hungry kid, I don't know.
But I think like the Great Gatsby, no, that was F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Yeah, yeah.
But like Tale of Two Cities, like he released as little things in newspapers.
Like a Garfield comic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
When do you think the Odd Spot came along? You know, at what point in the newspaper were they like, we are fucked today, nothing has happened. We got to get some weird story about a guy fucking getting his dick stuck in a, I don't know, what's the Odd Spot tip?
We need about
weird
an,
shit.
Yeah. Yeah, like, oh, there was a dog with the same name as a president, but he got elected by mistake.
Yeah, it's
that sort of stuff is the Odd Spot.
I'd like to think that would be front page news.
Maybe,
that's pretty outrageous to bury that deep in the paper under the Odd Spot.
Like, there's a type of beetle named after each of the four Beatles. That's pretty weird, isn't it?
Okay, yeah.
But then you'd be like, no, it's not. Because a third of the world's population of animals is a beetle, and only
Beatles,
four are named George Harrison.
Yeah, the Beatles
or
are very
what?
Famous.
Or the others?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When? Yeah. I wonder when. When did the comics start up? Again, it's just like, oh, man, this is all so boring. Get some cunt to do some little pictures and chuck that in. That'll eat up some.
That
columns.
Was the beginning of the end, wasn't it? That was news as entertainment. That was the original news as entertainment. And now that every problem in the world. Could be argued, not every problem, but a lot of that, like car crashes aren't caused by that. But a lot of our world's problems are caused by people viewing the news as entertainment and changing the way that they...
And people who are more good at entertaining than being politicians are now manipulating it to get in power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is us announcing our 2019 bid for the Australian Prime Ministership.
Yes.
So you're trying to say Fred Bassett kind of ruined the world a little bit.
Yeah, ruined my day every day.
Yeah, what a shit comic.
Yeah.
Man, every fucking newspaper comic is bad.
What about Garfield?
The worst.
Oh.
A terrible comic. Every single one is John going like, I'm lonely, and Garfield's like, fucking good.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's relatable shit.
Man.
The one where John drinks cum is the only good one.
He doesn't even drink cum.
He does drink cum.
He won't fuck, no.
Jim Davis tried to walk back from it and be like,
he's
not drinking cum, but he's definitely drinking cum.
Everything I've ever seen of Jim Davis, which is one interview and 840 Garfield comics from when I was in primary school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Suggests to me that he is more likely to think that every motherfucker on the planet knows about fucking cow protein supplements rather than even knowing of the existence of cum.
Okay, interesting.
He doesn't seem like a particularly orgasmic man to me. and everyone supplanting their own fucking perversions onto beautiful, pure Jim Davis.
Yeah, yeah. It's
you invent Odie and you know what cum is?
Mm.
Not adding up to me.
Not on my Apple Watch.
There are some good newspaper comics.
What? They're,
like, in the States, there's good ones.
The Wizard of Id?
I was going to bring up The Wizard of Id. It's my least favourite.
The Wizard of Id is terrible.
It's absolute dog shit.
Every web comic, every newspaper comic is just a pun stretched over three panels.
There's one called Mutts, which isn't bad. And did you ever read Robot Man? Robot Man is really funny.
I bet Robot Man sucks.
Nah, Robot Man's good. I'll lend you a book of Robot Man.
I'm going to look up a Robot Man newspaper.
Okay, while you do that, Tommy, Jim Davis or Warwick Davis? You got to choose a Davis.
Who's Warwick Davis? Is he the guy in that Ricky Gervais show?
Yes, yeah. And he's in, what was it called? Willow? And he was in...
Star Wars.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Jim Davis.
All right.
High-tech robot at Russia Forum turns out to be man in suit.
Is that an odd spot?
No.
That's great.
It should be Robot Man. Mm. Robot Man newspaper.
Robot Man and Monty. It changed.
Comic. Put in comic. Not newspaper. Robot Man newspaper is so vague.
It was this guy. It was this nerdy scientist called Monty, and he had made Robot Man.
I got it.
And then it turns out Robot Man's an alien. So at a certain point, Robot Man just left and went back to his home planet.
Oh.
And then from then, the strip was just called Monty, and the robot just wasn't in it anymore.
So we'll give it a chance. I'll read three.
Okay.
Because if you just read one of something, I wouldn't want someone to just listen to one episode of this, for example, this episode, and make up their mind on the podcast as a whole.
Okay.
Because they wouldn't know that it was about video games.
I'm happy to stand behind this.
It's a new year, and guess what? No video games get released on December 29th.
Yeah,
why do we do this to ourselves? We got to remember to just... It pains me to say it, but take a couple of years off, a couple of weeks
couple
off.
Of years.
A couple of years off. Let's just wait for the industry to kind of develop a bit
more.
Sure,
yeah.
So the first, I believe this is Robot Man. I have no way of knowing which character this is, but he's looking at an ATM.
Yep.
It says 24-hour banking, and he's looking up at it. Second one, the ATM is saying, enter personal code. The third panel is Robot Man saying, I hate it when women pay on the first date.
Yeah, that's not a particular.
That's
not
pun.
Very good.
That's not a particular
personal code.
Yes.
So
he should have said 6969.
Here's another one. This one involves, I believe, Santa Claus, but it may just be a character who looks like him.
Okay.
So does Monty wear a scarf?
Not always.
Well, he is here. It's cold out. He's saying, the amazing thing is, I had a premonition this would happen. Last night, I dreamt I was stuck in an elevator. Looks as though they're stuck in an elevator. This is the second panel. Mm. Only I wasn't stuck with you guys. I was stuck with two Swedish mud wrestlers and Charo, who I believe must be an old hot person.
Mm-hmm.
Charo.
Robot Man then says, Gary. This character's name is Gary.
Ah.
Gary.
The mystery has been solved.
That's no premonition. You have that dream every night. Gary says, yeah, but last night Charo was dressed like Santa Claus. Santa Claus says, could you hit that emergency button one more time? He doesn't want to get fucked by Gary.
That was a bit of a confusing one.
That's not bad.
Say.
It was all over the place. Here's a more simple one as our final
entrant
example of Robot Man, upon after which... We will be rendering judgment on this man who claims to be a robot, but I believe is a Russian in a suit. Robot Man is sitting at a little
very
wooden
political.
Thing. He's saying, he's got a sign on the little wooden desk he's sitting at that says, Philosophy-O-Matic. He set up like a lemonade stand for philosophy.
Okay.
There's a little trumpet creature sitting there. Robot Man says with his finger up, dog is man's best friend. And then this little thing's giving him money. Why, thank you. Thank you very much. Even in the philosophy business, there are ways of ensuring a good tip. I assume that was some kind of dog he was speaking to. Well,
it's not the greatest advertisement for Robot Man.
I will not be tipping Jim Medic or Stephen Donnelly.
Jim Medic is the guy who does it.
On the 9th of September 1986, he put that fucking travesty into the world.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know, man. I think the drawings are pretty cool. I like how it looks. And
anyone could draw anything.
And conversely, I feel like the way that those were being told just then, you know.
You think I was coming into it with a bias and a bad attitude?
I think you definitely were going into it with a bad attitude.
Well, if Robot Man can't shine through that.
Shout out to Robot Man. I want to hear from all the Robot Man fans out there.
Okay.
But it was always weird because it was in the Herald Sun and it was kind of a weird, it was kind of a weird comic strip when the Herald Sun just sort of had Garfield and like just all the most basic level comics. Yeah. I just always found it so strange that there was just this like very odd comic in there. Like how did anyone at the Herald Sun know what this comic was and bother to get the rights to it? One of life's great mysteries.
Man, that's crazy that like I think we were going to do the same segue here. That like there was this really mysterious thing with like what was at the time pretty futuristic technology, the printing press.
And it had a little bit of a sideways look at society.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say that that conversation was a complete waste of time. much like something that I did today that you boys have done.
Yes.
So we're going to talk in this episode about the new Black Mirror special that went up because it's a choose your own adventure. So it's kind of a game. It's about a video game as
well. It's an FMV game, essentially.
Yeah.
I haven't actually done it because I couldn't bring myself to be bothered with it.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
But that makes me a perfect vehicle to be the audience's everyman.
The surrogate. Yeah. The audience surrogate.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. That's what I said.
It is.
Play back the tape.
I did think it was interesting that you were very quiet in our group chat while I was talking about watching it today and going, I am fucking hating this.
I went back in and watched more of it today.
Right.
Because I
read the Wikipedia summary of it.
On your phone? Watch?
Yeah.
So yeah, Bandersnatch, it's called. It was dropped like, what, when? Between Christmas and New Year's?
I think so, yeah.
Right after Christmas.
Yeah.
29th of December. Fuck. There was one video game released on the 29th of December.
Yeah, yeah. It's basically a Telltale game. If you haven't played it, it's...
That is a horrible thing to say about Telltale, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
It's basically a Telltale game as in, I wish it didn't exist.
Look, as we all know, Charlie Brooker invented satire, and now he's gone and invented Choose Your Own Adventure games.
I like Charlie Brooker.
Me too.
I've liked a lot of his work.
On a personal level?
Like a lot of the work that he's done. I don't know him, but a lot of early Black Mirror, I was like, okay. There's been episodes of Black Mirror that I've enjoyed. As a whole, I'm not super into it because, and I think that this seems to fit into this bucket, it's become this weird parody of itself where it's so kind of predictable in what tone it's going to take.
Yeah. I have a weird relationship with Black Mirror where when they put new ones up, I'm always like, oh, fuck yeah. And I'll watch them all pretty quickly. Like I like watching them when I'm watching them. I like the anthology thing. I like turning on an episode and not knowing what it's going to be.
Sure.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Even though the strike rate of bits of it that I like is incredibly low.
Yeah.
Like I like the act of like finding out what, for me it's often like, oh yeah, okay, I see what's happening here. This is a cool premise. And then within 10 minutes realizing, but not if you do it like this. So, you know what I mean? It's always like, I think they're cool ideas,
right,
which then the way they execute them, it's like, I just wish they had this. To me, I'd find them often a pretty uninteresting way of going into that specific idea for a story.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with Charlie Brooker at all, really, before Black Mirror. Like, I know now he was a games writer or developer. Like, he was involved
like
in video games.
Then he did a bunch of comedy stuff in the UK.
Yes, and became, more of a genuine satirist. Like, he would do his, what are they called?
Weekly Wipe and Yearly Wipe.
Yeah. He used to do the Yearly Wipe and he would put them up, or they would go up on, you could download them for like, I don't know, a couple of days before New Year's Eve or whatever.
Yeah.
And I would always, like, before I went out to do something for New Year's Eve, I would sit and watch it. And they were, like, pretty reliably funny. Like, always good stuff, good recap of the year, some great jokes in there. And he hasn't done them for the last 2 years because he's too busy making fucking Black Mirror.
I remember, people telling me about that when Black Mirror came out. It was like, oh, this comedian basically has written this series of sort of Twilight Zone episodes, which I thought was a really interesting idea in general.
He'd done a couple of similar things as well, where there was like a zombie outbreak and people were in the Big Brother house.
Oh,
and stuff like that, where he's done Black Mirror episodes basically as shows and whatever before.
Right.
Yeah, he's
right.
always written this sort of stuff. And Black Mirror just was the right mix of it to hit hard because it came out on Netflix on the right time.
I think the first ever was it always net because it wasn't on BBC originally. It's Netflix now, yeah. but it's yeah, it was on
It got massive on Netflix, but the first episode was just a BBC thing.
Yeah.
yeah.
I think there were like three. The first one, the Prime Minister had to fuck a pig.
Yeah. So that I think that's one of the greatest episodes of television.
It's very
that's
good.
I completely agree, and I do love that on a level that is, yeah, you're right, up there with some of the best episodes of TV.
So it's because of the whole show is it's always like technology based. That one isn't technology doesn't really factor into it that much.
Social media, kind of,
but that's sort of what I thought the show was when I started watching that was. That it was going to be each episode was like a classic idea of like a hypothetical because it's always like that to me read as like, oh, this is so funny because it's like that's something that when you're drunk you'll ask, oh, would you, fuck a pig if it was going to save someone's life or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
And played with absolute sincerity and like just really dramatic stakes. I was like, this is so funny trying to be.
If every episode after that was like, either someone has 20 dicks on their forehead
or
just a forehead where their dick should be.
Yeah.
If every episode was just two fucking high idiots going
all right, $1,000 to drink this bottle of piss.
Yeah. yeah.
No? 5,000.
You got to suck Brad Pitt's dick in front of your dad or your Brad Pitt sucks your dad's dick in front of you.
Yeah, it's just every episode is, and it's just if it's the same if it's the same PM as well. So it's just like different members of the royal family getting kidnapped, and then Ep 2 he has to have a three way with his mum and his dad to stop his prince from being executed on TV.
Despite having an asshole where his nose should be, he's been elected for a record 19th term. Will Prime Minister Scruggins?
That is such a better show.
Yeah.
But this one is basically sci-fi. Focused Twilight Zone. As in like,
I'm trying to think of other ones that I actually like. The one where you can replay memories is really good.
I don't like that one because
and then, I more broadly agree with your take, Tommy, where it's like there are aspects of some episodes that I think are really, really interesting.
Yeah.
But I think I'm even a step back where it's like I don't even enjoy those episodes or those moments. It's just more like, oh, that's a fun dot point.
Yeah.
I
think sort of part of the problem is it as well. There's a couple of episodes from a more recent series. The one with Jesse Plemons and the Star Trek stuff was alright.
I didn't mind that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that one's pretty cool.
The bees was okay. Like the robot bees.
Yeah.
But the bits of them, I think a big problem with it is it functioning as a sci-fi show is that a lot of these sci-fi ideas have been done.
Yes.
And it's something that heaps of sci-fi suffers from is there's only so many fucking people who can say, what if androids could feel that before you go, fuck off all of you who are going to try to do this story ever again, except for David Cage, who's a genius and whose game Detroit Become Human was the fifth best game of the year.
Or like just sincerely, like a movie like Her, which explores it with genuine depth and emotion and is like a really smart bunch of people looking
at it. Yeah, Her's awesome.
Yeah.
And Her was a great Black Mirror episode.
Yeah.
If Her had been an episode of Black Mirror,
it'd be the best one.
Exactly. But it's like a step down in every actor. So it's like Justin Long is in it or whatever instead of Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. They sort of did do one that was really similar. I think in the first season or something, there's like someone getting. I think it's a lady whose husband has died and it's a company that you can download a personality and she has this like replica
of him. It was just a chatbot at first, right? Like she could just chat to him on a computer.
Yes. And it's just nowhere near as good as
it's
her.
It's that 50-year-old's take on social media that is grating at times with it too. Where it's like, we're all connected and what does it mean? What if your memories are stored forever and we could rebuild? And it's like this thing that your fucking dad said to you this Christmas. And you're like, Dad, nah, man.
Well, it's funny.
Nah.
You haven't thought this through, Dad.
Dad, that's not going to be what happens. Nobody wants that.
It's funny though how it's like, critiques, we're all just, we're connected all the time and we're all just looking at these fucking screens. And it's like, this is on a fucking streaming platform that you can access from any device that you have.
But then that's the form they're messing with now. that you can access it from only certain devices that you have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a choose-your-own-adventure, which, first of all, I got an adventure you should choose, Brooker. Do a fucking end-of-year wipe, you hack. yeah, so I... You, Ben, you messaged us and were like, oh, we should watch it and review it for the show.
Yeah,
and
there's nothing else to do, so yeah, let's
and,
do this.
You know, I when someone gives me a suggestion like that, I like to, you know, respect what we do in here by actually doing the required reading before I come.
I mean, if we're all going to have to commit some time in this busy period of the year, so if we all do it, it's worth it.
Yeah.
yeah. Adam, any thoughts?
Oh, if I wasn't at work... I'd have done it. I could have.
What about
done
the,
it
day
the day
you were hungover?
But I'm still hungover. Honestly, I'm not going to drink again for a long, long time.
Yeah, how old are you now, Knox?
Let me just check my watch.
He just put his wrist up, and there was like a few seconds where he realized, oh, hang on, I'm doing a visual bit into this microphone. I'd better say what I've just done.
I'm turning 30 this year.
That's when it happens.
Time to end.
Yeah, yeah. The hangovers do last for about 48 hours.
Yeah, I'm done with it. It's not fun anymore. Yep. No one can tell me how to live my life. I'm going to live my life for me. Get out of here, Dad. That's not what it'd be like.
Yeah, I watched it today, hungover, and it was like, yeah, just, I mean, there's no good way to watch this.
Yes.
But it's certainly made it worse.
Yeah, by the way, we're going to fully spoil this thing. If you do want to watch it, go do it.
Yeah.
And if you enjoy it, by the way, us not liking it doesn't shit on your experience.
And I think
it's like Robot Man, you know, just because some idiot talks into a microphone and gives it a really soft sell of the key bullet points of it.
Almost making
committing.
It impossible to like in that format.
I was going to not watch it. If it wasn't for this, I would not have watched it because everything about it's like, oh, it's a I would have been excited for in that same way. Like I said, I watch them really quickly when they come out. I do enjoy watching them even if I get to the end and go, I didn't really enjoy that. But just the whole thing of it being a choose your own adventure, I was like, this just seems like the most dated and dodgy format choice.
And it is deliberately dating itself in a way and like being kind of retro kitsch or whatever.
Yes, it is.
Being about this 1984 game and being like, it is aware that what it is doing is not groundbreaking in some sense.
So it plays with the form. So at a certain point in it, it's like, it's the fact that you're doing a choose your own adventure does feed into the story and becomes part of it.
Yeah.
And it's also about a game that he's designing that is sort of a choose your own adventure game that's based on a choose your own adventure book.
Yeah.
So that game existed and wasn't released for real.
Oh, really?
Back in the day. This is what I learned from my watch.
Okay.
Bandersnatch was a real game made by some adventure game company back then that never got released.
Mm.
This is all based on sort of real shit.
Right.
Interesting.
And then obviously the Black Mirror aspects of it, of the guy going crazy if you choose to or whatever, aren't. But so how long, when you press play, right, on this?
Yeah, baby.
How long does it take until something pops up and says, hey, left or right?
You get a couple of choices pretty early on.
Yeah.
And then you sort of don't for a bit. That's the weird thing about it is that you kind of can't tell how long you've been watching it for.
Yes.
Right.
So I actually don't know how long so I sort of got to the end, but then it was letting me go back in and sort of do it again.
Yeah.
But it had come up with a thing in the top corner being like, oh, you can watch the credits here.
So that happens.
And I think
like,
the fact that had come up, I was like, okay, good, I'm out.
Right. No, that happens like 50 times.
Right.
It's like it starts with like choose your breakfast cereal. Choose to be like rude to your dad or not.
Right.
And then like Tommy said, it gets into the story. He's writing this game. He gets approached by a developer to work on it. There's like this quirky, you know, whiz kid, other guy at the company that you can be friends with, and it all starts to branch off. But yeah, the further you get into it, the more metatextual it is. And it's like the fact that you're making this guy choose different options bleeds through to his consciousness. He starts to react to it. He's going loopy. He's got a psychologist. And it's...
And you can like become the psychologist and tell him that this is a Netflix special or something,
that's,
right?
That starts happening, yeah.
At one point.
That was the bit that I got up to where I was like, okay, this is officially one of the worst things I've ever committed time to.
That's fucking lame.
This is
lame,
so fucking stupid and shit.
Yeah.
I'm just going to make a comparison to Stand Up because it's the first comparison that comes into my head. When you see someone who never goes out and gigs but kind of does it, but irregularly and sort of in their own world and on their own schedule,
Yeah.
Someone who does
someone
that.
Someone who's like an actor, not a stand-up maybe.
Yeah. And well, and yeah, totally. Or is like so big, it sometimes this happens with, where they never watch anyone else do it ever.
Yeah.
They will come up with the first most obvious joke that you can ever think of on any given subject.
Right, sure.
And every episode of Black Mirror is that, but with technology.
Yeah. Okay. This is absolutely that. This is someone who has not engaged with contemporary sci-fi writing since he was, you know, 20. Actually, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like on the ground floor, writing his own short stories and actually involved in it. Yeah.
Well, the choices, the things that you choose.
And there's a couple of writers for this too, right? It's not just Charlie Brooker.
I think it's ever just him, no. And it's directed by David Slade, who's like a pretty big director.
Whoa, man, I love Just Shoot Me.
Sorry, I'm still hungover too. But like David Slade, I think maybe is a big bad director.
Yeah. He was on SNL for years. I love funny people.
His interview on the Norm Show is actually pretty good.
Yeah,
though.
He's kind of funny. Joe Dirt's terrible.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's no good.
I loved Joe Dirt when I was a kid.
The fact that David Slade sounds so much like David Spade makes that guy's whole life hilarious.
Yeah.
The fact that you have to walk around and say your name, "I am David Slade," and people are like, "Huh?
Did you mispronounce David Spade?
Do you mean David Spade?"
Look him up. It'd be great if he sort of looks similar as well.
It is David Spade. Just wearing like
it's
a fedora.
Character. It's his British character. So the big problem I had with it was that pretty much, with a couple of exceptions, basically all of the decisions that you're making are so inconsequential. It's all like, what song are you going to listen to? Are you going to pick up the book or are you going to pick up the photo frame? It's just all this. You're not being given too many actual fork in the road moments where it's like,
I think you do.
You get a couple, but the majority of it felt like you're just sitting there going, well, yeah, who cares? This isn't going to make any fucking difference whether I fucking turn and look at the wall or...
There's heaps because I would have played it for like 3 or 4 hours now.
Really?
And it's like you can go back a step after it's ended, quote unquote, and pick another one. You often get to the point where your game is released and you get reviewed on this review TV show and you can get anywhere between like 0, 2.5, 5 stars, but you're in jail. Like all these different things can happen.
Yeah.
Right.
It is all tedious, but there are genuine branching paths, I think.
There's
2.5 hours
of footage.
Right.
That's the length of it if you watch everything.
Okay.
And it can go anywhere from 40 minutes to the full thing. But again, the Wikipedia article for this really sums up the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that you're the paths branch pretty drastically, but the fact that you're saying the choices don't appear, that you aren't informed of where you're going to go based on your choices, that these big things happen, like you stopped to tie your shoe, so this fucking changed. Whoa.
That's it.
That's way less interesting.
Choose Your Own Adventure seems like, to me, what was fun. I never loved those books and stuff when I was a kid, but if there was some fun to it, it was like you actually being able to assess like, okay, well, I think this is the right thing to do.
Where it would be like turn left or right, and then if you turn left, it's like that was where the pit was, never told you, bye.
And that's what this is. That's what heaps of this kind of is.
Yeah, fuck
like
that.
There's a bit where you do fucking acid with your with your whiz kid,
the guy doing the Richard Iowati accent.
And then he's like, oh, there's a timeline. You can go back and you can change time and everything and I'll prove it. Like, one of us is going to jump off this balcony. Who's it going to be? And it's kind of like, well, you know what I mean? There's no...
Yeah, if you pick yourself, the game ends. And if you pick him, well, I'll tell you what happens. The game also ends.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no...
Yeah.
It's just like, well, you've just said one of us is going to go off, so I don't care. I'll just pick... either one, you know what I mean? It's not like, you're not being presented with an actual kind of like problem that you can kind of think about how to solve or actually use some kind of critical thinking to come up with a... Like, I never gave an answer where I was like, oh, this is cool because I feel like I'm actually injecting a bit of my own kind of like thoughts and personality onto how I'm playing this.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like... Oh, fuck, I don't care. Like, go walk over there.
I can see that I can understand where you're coming from there because, like, sure, there are, like, a lot of paths, but often the way I came across them was I would do one, to the end point, then I would go back and I would just be like, well, I'll just do the other one, I guess. It's not like one is right or wrong or one is more in line with what I wanted the character to actually do. It's just like, well, I guess I'll see what happens down this path.
And that as a gimmick, this fucking show by its own subject is copping to the fact that like, well, this is something that in games has been happening for 34 years. Mm. It happened with video in the 90s and it was books 40 years ago.
Yeah.
So the gimmick isn't enough to make this interesting.
And nor is it being meta.
Yeah.
Because that also has been done to death.
Yeah.
And just the story and all the stuff that's going on, I the just didn't care about any lame. Of it. It's just boring. Nothing is really happening in the story. He's just trying to make this game and then he's freaking out, but there's no you don't feel like, oh, I actually kind of want to push this in the right direction because I want to see what happens. I want him to succeed. I want him to it becomes apparent that he's like starting to freak out and that's just going to happen anyway.
Yes.
So that nothing that you do is really going to change that and you sort of start to work out like, oh, I'm not going to get to watch a cool story play out if I play this correctly.
Or feel like I've had any influence on like an actual choice that was made. It's not like, hey, what was her name from before? And you've got to remember that it's Martha or whatever.
Sure.
But
that does happen occasionally. There are things that you pick up of like, because it starts to be there's this other like sci-fi plot of like maybe his dad's been monitoring him for years and like inflicting personal traumas on him to test, you know, like drugs and stuff.
Mm.
And so you got to remember like, oh, the code was that word that he said in two scenes ago.
Yeah.
But none of it really comes to anything. And I think that's probably because the writing is bad and the performances are bad.
Yeah.
There's this line I remembered from today where the games developer, like the head, is talking to the sort of the other guy and he's like, come on, man, it's not one of your anarchist communes. You can't. And it's like, what is an anarchist commune? He's like accusing him of being like a rebel. And it's just like, what does that line mean? That's so poorly thought out. Like, yeah. It's cringe worthy.
That is a lot of Black Mirror episodes to have that sort of stuff in them.
Yeah. And even Black Mirror at its worst when it's very on the nose about what it's saying, even if you think that the message is really naff or whatever, it's like, get off your phones. With this, I was like, so what is this trying to say? Like, what's it getting at? Even though I don't always think the messages are good or interesting, there is at least a clear point of like, that's what the show is. It's commenting on stuff.
But this just
doesn't
like,
seem to be commenting on anything.
Remember adventure games?
Well, comment is like, aren't you bad for playing a Netflix Choose Your Own Adventure special? Like like legitimately.
Innately making a choice hurt this man. Mm. It's like, well, you told... No, it didn't. You told me to and you filmed it.
Yes.
You fuck off.
Yeah. That's the only genuine reaction you can have to this is like, if that is your message, fuck you.
If it was you had the option to make him go through something nice, but it was boring. If to have him have a nice day, you had to watch a full 24 hours of this man having a dull, nice day and every other choice was bad.
Yeah.
Then you could say, hey, you did this to him.
Yes.
But if every option leads to him having some kind of fucked experience.
Well, I think like for me, I thought the goal was to get the game that he's making a good review by the end of the thing. And I don't think I ever did. Maybe I think I got one where it's like, oh, you can see this was really creative and driven, but unfortunately, like, he'd murdered his dad and he's in prison now.
That is the good ending. Artistic expression at all costs.
Yeah.
I got that one. That's the one I got.
I actually got another ending today, which I think is the good ending, where he resolves that personal trauma in his mind. There's like a thing where his dad's like trying to get him to leave his bedroom and he's like soft toys under the bed. And he's
his
like,
mum was dead in a train wreck.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But then in the flashback, his mum's alive and he's like, oh, I've got my toy and I'll come with you, mum. And then they all leave and a nice song plays. And then it turns out he became brain dead during the psychology session or something. And it's like, oh, this is Black Mirror.
Yeah.
It's so lame. And there's an option where it's like your dad's really on your case and when he's like freaking out and he's convinced that his dad is like mind controlling him or whatever. And it's like one of the options that comes up is kill dad. And it's like, am I 14? Like it just is the most like lame, like there's a thing where you're in, he's talking to his therapist and she says, like, don't you want something interesting to happen?
Mm.
And one of the choices is fuck yeah. It's just this like it's so lame.
Yeah.
It's just so fucking.
Yeah, like that scene is like by that point they're starting to like talk about the meta thing as if it's his psychosis, and she's like, "Well, if you were in control of this, wouldn't you want some adventure and action to happen?"
It's like, oh, and if you choose God. Fuck yeah.
He have jumps a in a
car
for,
or something. Yeah. Fuck yeah. You,
she
man.
She pulls out like, yeah, nunchucks yeah. or something. Yeah. yeah.
That is, yeah.
It's lame.
Yeah.
The only good thing I'll say about it is I was surprised how seamless the whole thing of making the choices is.
Yes.
Like I kind of thought it was going to be a thing where it would have to like load every time, but it's like a thing comes up, there's a little timer, the scene just plays out and you make your choice. And then it just rolls on. But it's like I kind of, you know, I had to sit there with the remote in my hand and yeah. I was like, I rather would just be actually playing a game. Mm. Like that's not why I watch TV. Like yeah. just make a fucking good movie.
A whole bunch of these sorts of games. Like Detroit is this type of thing, but yeah. kind of more so, and there was one that came out last year, I believe, as well, with this dude who was like a car parker. And
what?
You know what? Like the guy who parks your car for you, a valet.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And
a car parker.
That is another description for it. Okay. I'm not.
Knox not wanting to out himself as one of the hoi polloi by pretending to not know word is valet. It,
yeah, valet? Thanks, car parker. That's what I say to them. No, I get you on your level. Anyway, they all get consistently bad reviews because it's an innately flawed format, it seems like.
Yes.
It seems as though it's just not an engaging way to present a story to someone because you don't end up feeling any ownership over the story because, which is part of the idea, right? Because it all, the cracks in it appear so easily.
Well, this one, it purposefully shows you the cracks. You'll right. get to an ending where you die or you're in jail and it loops on the previous scene and it's like, go back to this choice or exit.
And that is a way to make that seem as though like, oh, well, I'm not invested in any of these 10 endings you have.
Yeah. And I think who it's appealed to is like people who are like Easter egg hunters, you know, that's like, oh, well, if you get these 7 endings, you actually see that this weird sound clip plays. And it's like, I don't give a fuck.
Man, yeah, it's crazy that it's only the 2nd of January and they've already put up stuff for the Easter egg hunters.
I know, right?
The hot cross buns are out in Woolworths already. Yeah.
Did you get, because I kind of got fooled by like the first big choice that you get where he goes for an interview at this video games company and he pitches them the demo that he's been making of Bandersnatch.
Yep.
And the guy who runs it says, great, yeah, make it here. Like, we'll give you all our resources. We'll aim to have it out by Christmas. And so I accepted that because it's like, well, I'm at this job interview. Yeah, like, I wanted this to happen. This is great.
Yeah, he's like an 18-year-old kid who's pitched a demo for a video game and it's getting picked up. Of course I said yes.
Yeah,
And then that's the wrong thing to do because it's like it cuts to the ending, which is the game comes out and it gets panned because it's like...
It's too corporate.
Too many cooks, yeah.
Because he's had too many cooks and it's like... That wasn't fucking hinted at all that was going to be the case.
Yeah. That threw you watching it? That threw me when I read the Wikipedia description of this. I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, yeah.
Comedy is always good when you make it with millions of people.
Yeah,
Video games must be the same. But
video games are...
They are better when you do that.
Yes, exactly.
But it's like, why is he there then? Like, why is he going to this company if the point was that you're not meant to end up doing it with them? I don't get why that's in there at all.
No, I completely agree. And then he goes home and he starts to get in his own head and that's where he gets all crazy and shit and that's the rest of the show. But I think that I really liked the format and the functionality. I was like, fuck, this is cool. This is actually interesting. And you're right, it's so smooth when it goes along with what one of your choices
is. I went in ready to hate it, but then when I saw that it in practice it works so fluidly, I was like, oh, maybe this will be good. This will actually be pretty fun and cool.
And that did carry me along for a while, but yeah.
Because when your first choice is, should I choose Sugar Puffs or Frosted Flakes for breakfast? I was like, who the fuck cares? Is it just all going to be shit like this?
Yeah.
I guess is that just like a demo choice to go like, this is a deliberately meaningless choice to just show you what it looks like?
I think so, yeah.
There's a few of them in there though.
There are a few. I still think, because I like Telltale games and I liked Detroit for how I was able to make dumb choices and see how they panned out.
Yeah.
I don't think that this is inherently a bad format or function. It just has been a really bad execution on this occasion.
Yeah. And it's pretty, it's, yeah, I mean, it's cool that they realized, oh, hang on, with Netflix, we could fucking do something like this.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
It must have cost a shit ton as well, because like, oh, maybe not if they only filmed 2.5 hours footage total. Yeah,
it's 150 minutes.
And they didn't get good actors. I do, like, the therapist is a great British comedic actress, Alice Lowe.
She's in,
like, Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. Mm-hmm. And like Mighty Boosh, and like worked with a lot of those guys, yeah. A bunch of Edgar Wright movies. But everyone else is kind of not.
I watched a Midsummer Murders episode on Christmas Eve with my parents, and that, I forget his name, I think Kevin someone from Big Train.
Oh, Kevin Eldon.
Yeah. He was in it, and it was making me laugh a lot because he's being serious in this, but he's often quite serious in Big Train. Like he's it was, my dad couldn't work out why I found the concept of this man fucking killing his whole family to be quite funny.
He's got a funny face, that guy.
He's got a really funny face.
Thanks for spoiling that episode of Midsummer Murders without warning me as well. I've got the whole box set. It's 1 million feet wide.
Ah, nice. You weren't going to, if it's anything like this, you just will fucking never watch it anyway.
He'll read the Wikipedia page though.
Yeah.
I'm just lashing out because I'm jealous that you got to not watch this.
Do you know why I didn't watch it? I knew it would be bad.
Yeah.
I knew it would be. Well, no, actually, I had genuinely not high hopes because I am so meh on Black Mirror in general. Yeah. But I was curious. I was genuinely curious about how it was going to pan out.
I'm more than happy for them to make more good ones as well in the future. I don't have anything out for them like I do for fucking Robot Dork. What's his name?
Robot Man.
Robot Dork.
Do you guys know how this has been received? Are people into it?
I've seen a lot of Facebook statuses of people going like, Bandersnatch, what even the fuck just happened?
I've read a few reviews.
Sorry if you've written something like that too. It's just like...
But that's it. I mean, you forget for all of us saying like, oh, meta stuff has sort of been done. Like, you do forget that I think the three of us probably engage with more things than... than the average person. So it's
not
like,
me. I don't watch anything. I read Wikipedia.
But you do forget that if it's a big enough audience, like there would be a decent number of people going like the bit that we all find very lame of like going, yes, I'm in I am controlling Netflix. Yeah. Like some people would be like,
and honestly, if I could go back to the days where I didn't watch stuff and for some reason default to being critical of it, like critical in the sense of negative, critical in the sense of analytical.
Yes.
I would love that. And it's a great world to live in.
Yeah.
Where you watch things to enjoy them deliberately.
I am on the same page. We, I think, was in our group. We were talking about, Altered Carbon and some sci-fi stuff. And... people were talking about like Star Trek Discovery and a few other shows on the same level. And I commented and was like, everything you've mentioned in this thread has been bad. Mm. And one of our...
That is a very Ben Vanille comment.
Yes. Well, one of our patrons, Tom from Hong Kong, was like, maybe you just don't like sci-fi then. And I was like, no, it's my favorite genre. But that's the thing. Like, you're always more critical when you've seen more of that thing.
That's why I hit my kids.
What?
Because I love them.
Oh,
that's not true. Nice. I don't have kids and I would never do that. And I'm sorry for making a joke about it. But yeah, it just seems like exactly what you would imagine it would be if someone described to you what it was in a lot of detail. So
I have read some genuine like critical reviews.
Yeah.
And they're all negative.
Right.
So we're not being pricks.
Right. I had the lowest expectations you could possibly have and I was still... let down by it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's
this is one of the most awful things I've engaged with in maybe the last 5 years.
I
hated it so much.
If you're at all interested, give it a go. Because I think it's like it's a curious thing that's happened in what is now, you know, Netflix's mainstream media. It's huge. And I think it's worth engaging in to see if you like it or not.
I would say watch the Adam Sandler stand-up special instead.
I say do both.
It would have been great if they could have done this in the past where like they had... I remember thinking this when I was a kid. That's how this fucking... that's how much this concept is...
played out and tired.
That a 7-year-old was thinking about it in the 90s.
Yeah.
That you'd have a show that's happening live and people have to ring up and vote on what they want. And then...
like Australian Idol.
For like 10 minutes, the show's just kind of on pause.
That's pretty cool.
And then
cool.
They go,
yeah, right.
All right, we're going this way with it. But that also would have been lame.
Yeah.
Do you remember when they do like episodes of the Drew Carey Show and they do them live? Yeah. But I remember like watching it here and being like, well, it's not live now.
No.
Yeah.
Like, there's no stakes here because obviously if something had gone really wrong, it just wouldn't be on
TV.
Those
weird episodes of the Drew Carey Show where they were like, well, I don't know what the point of this show is. So this one is all in black and white and there's deliberately mistakes in this one.
The mistakes episode. Yeah, I used to love that. Yeah. Yeah, that was sick.
I did like that.
Yeah.
That was around the time when meta stuff wasn't even happening, really.
Yeah.
Like, Community, I think, was the tipping point of always looking in on itself and using that for comedy.
That's the thing. Meta's such a wank, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you've got to be like, I know exactly what our thing is and I'm going to mess with it a little bit, but at the same time think it's the best thing in the world.
Exactly. It's like, I think I'm smarter than the format that I'm working within.
Yeah. And it gets a lot of credit, but it's actually not particularly difficult to do, to just stop and go, I'm doing a podcast right now, guys. Yeah. I'm aware that I'm doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Well, we're better than everyone.
Yeah. Once again, another week where we remain victorious. The kings of media.
You thought 2019 wasn't going to be won again by us, but it turns out.
You know what I did also do today, as well as play some more of that Bandersnatch?
Yeah.
I played two things that I really enjoyed. I play, and this is a new, relatively new format of gaming. Virtual reality.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shout out to all the people who...
Did
we talk about this on the show? That, right after we did our Game of the Year app, there was like a JB Hi-Fi sale where they had like a pretty big price drop on VR and Astrobot.
Mm.
And heaps of listeners, well, not heaps, but a few,
yep,
went out and got it. And it was very nice to see people immediately go like, yeah, you boys nailed it. This rules.
I think there's, I mean, there's been sales all around the world.
It was like the perfect price point for it as well.
Yeah.
Like,
$229 or something.
And there were bundles that were coming like 3 or 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So lots of people jumped on. Not just JB Hi-Fi customers, but I think it's just that time of year where stuff comes down in price. I played Eagle Flight, which is one of the earlier VR releases. It's an Ubisoft game. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's a form, like a way of using VR that I hadn't seen yet, which is like your head is sort of like a mouse cursor almost, like how you'd play FPSs and that would be, you know, your look. Your head is the look and you're an eagle.
No, I get that.
Just you describing eyes.
if you were a snake, wherever you pointed your head is where your body would go.
Yeah, that, yes.
Yeah.
Snakes can't strafe.
You're always in perpetual motion. You can go faster or slower with the trigger buttons, but your head is guiding where you fly.
Right.
And there are goals of like, hey, fly under here or follow this or find this landmark. There's some stuff to it. You actually have a story mode where you start as a little baby chick. You're following your parents around and you find...
That's cool.
Like, oh, there's bats in this area and there's...
Holy shit.
And it's Paris. It's Paris in the future taken back by nature.
Yeah, right.
So it's like a post-apocalyptic, but, you know, like, it's just animals.
But the Eiffel Tower hasn't fallen over.
Still there.
Very unlikely in a post-apocalypse situation. If the movies I've seen are anything to go by,
that's it.
If there's a war anywhere near Paris, that Eiffel Tower fucking comes down immediately.
Yep, yep. But it's really fun. And the sensation of dipping down and going, you know, heading straight for the ground and pulling back up again is like, there's genuine sort of feeling to it. You'd a bit of vertigo and it's pretty immersive.
Mm.
So that's
cool.
I might
get it, set up a little fan in front of my face.
Oh, hell yeah.
Give myself that extra little experience.
Yeah, nice.
cover myself in feathers.
Fucking lay an egg afterwards, stick an egg up my ass, fucking lay it back down.
Eat a dead rat and fucking...
Gonna go live in a tree. I'm gonna fuck a bird.
So that's pretty sick. I've only played it for like an hour or so, but it's fun. That experience is cool.
Yeah.
And I started playing Moss, which is like Astrobot, but a little less fluid and fun to play, but with more of an interesting, well, with the story.
Mm. Okay.
Interesting aesthetic, cool music. But yeah, it's basically you're an disembodied spirit guiding this little mouse around the forest.
And it's kind of more diorama-based in a way is my understanding of it. I still haven't played it.
It's just a linear platformer, I would say.
So you can look to the right and there's a huge fucking path.
It's all 3D, yeah. Okay. But the platforming is mostly to my experience, 2D, some puzzle stuff, some stuff obviously where you as the spirit interact with the world to help your little guy through.
And so you're like raising platforms and you're moving platforms.
And you're there's platforms.
Yeah, okay.
But it's cool. I enjoy it. It is, like I said, less sort of fluid as Astrobot. It's a bit more like, oh, this is early days in VR, which it was only like 12 months earlier, but it's, yeah, if you can feel that. But it's fun, and I'm glad I started playing it. I'm going to continue playing it.
Cool. I bought a 3DS the other day. It turned up today because I had one for ages, but it was one that I bought in the States, and it became, I think at a certain point you just couldn't get stuff shipped because it's region locked, so I was unable to get stuff shipped from Amazon and whatever. And then I used to be able to use the eShop, and then they updated it and it wouldn't accept my Australian card. So I haven't had one for ages, and I just sort of, realized there was just enough things that I wanted to play on it to make it worth getting one. Thank you to the listeners who I put a post in our Facebook group saying what's a good place to start with Fire Emblem, because I really want to play a Fire Emblem game. So thank you to the people who recommended, pointed me in the right direction. No thanks to the people who didn't read my question at all and just started going, get Mario Kart.
Mario Kart's
thought I was
good,
looking for recommendations for 3DS games.
Have you played Smash Bros?
I reckon those are valid suggestions though.
They're good games.
They're good games.
They're valid responses to a different question.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, so I've got that on the way, and I started playing Link Between Worlds today, which is
great.
Yeah. Really great. Forgot. I know I said when we talked about Breath of the Wild that I never cared for the dungeons too much in Zelda games, because that is a complaint that some people have of Breath of the Wild. But in this one, I'm really enjoying them.
Yeah.
They're great. They're really great. Just those little, the kind of little puzzly bits where you, just the intricate designs of them are pretty awesome.
Link Between Worlds has a Breath of the Wild-ish thing, way less, but where you can,
do it
kind
in
of
order.
Approach them in a non-defined order.
I really hope that they do a sort of Breath of the Wild, like the next Zelda game is, you know how they did Majora's Mask used a lot of the assets of Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
And Link Between Worlds is the same map from A Link to the Past on the SNES, but they've both got kind of like weird stories and kind of like a weird little gimmick to them. I kind of hope that the next one is like that of like the Breath of the Wild.
Would love it.
Sort of world with like some weird shit going on would be great.
Absolutely.
Like turning into a painting in this is fucking sick.
It's great.
It's really cool.
The music's fantastic in that, I remember as well. Especially like, this isn't a spoiler, the final dungeon has some of the best music that I've seen, because it's multiple floors, and as you go up each level, it adds like another instrumentation to it or whatever.
Oh, great.
So like you start out, it's like boom, 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 and then as you go up each floor, it brings in more and more of it. It turns out it's a Macarena at the end, which is like throws you off, but
yeah, it's a fun surprise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's fucking so cool and thoughtful and everything good about Zelda, where it's like inventive, it looks good.
Very charming.
Yeah.
I only ever had the old 3DS before they really improved the 3D, and it's really good now. It used to be, it was always fine, but you know, if you'd move your head like a centimeter, it would blur and throw it off. Like, it's so stable now, so that's been really cool as
you
well.
You got
like
one of them XLs, or?
I got the XL. Yeah, I got the SNES.
It's nice having that big screen.
Yeah, the big screen, the improved 3D.
You can read
3D.
Wikipedia on it really, really well.
Dude.
It's great.
Wikipedia has everything. For just $3, you could help Wikipedia forever.
Why are they always begging for money?
Because they are a non-profit. It
gives me the shits. I gave money to them once ages ago. Now I get emails from them all the time.
You can unsubscribe.
Yeah.
You might remember a few years ago we reached out for help and you very kindly gave us a few dollars. Guess what? Now we need more.
Just put ads on the website.
Put ads on the website. I'll pay you money when you have a bit more due diligence to make sure that my personal Wikipedia page isn't just vandalized beyond all get out. I don't think there's a single true thing on there. My dad got really pissed off because he looked me up and he saw that it says that you're a ventriloquist and that your middle name is Carl, and he was more offended about the fake middle name than he was about his son being mistakenly labeled as a ventriloquist.
Dad, I'll explain this all to you, but pass me that suitcase. I've got a friend here who needs to have a word about what's happened.
I am so thirsty. Let me just drink this entire glass of water. I'm looking forward to going back in on some stuff that I missed on the 3DS. Ooh. I bought WarioWare on the way here, which you were a big fan of, Adam.
Yeah, Detective Pikachu, I reckon that you'd enjoy looking at that one.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of non-Fire Emblem recommendations from the 3DS.
And that Fire Emblem game looks amazing. I'm really looking forward to that turning up.
Which one is it?
Awakenings,
right,
is the one that everyone froths on.
Okay.
I'm going to go in on the re-release of that Mario & Luigi RPG that's out in like a week.
Oh, yeah.
Games have always interested me. They look cool and fun. But then I was saying to you guys before off air, like, it's such a great system. Like, it's got such a solid library, but it's just late enough in its lifespan now that there's like certain games that are very hard to find. Like, I thought I'll just walk into JB and just get everything I need, but like Majora's Mask you can't get. Heaps of stuff is just, it's very clearly on the way out, even though they will never admit that because they keep still making announcements about it in direct.
Man, it's so weird how like Nintendo won't admit to the divorce. You know, like
when
you get those like celebrity couples where it's like, you guys have been split up for ages.
Yeah.
I don't know who I'm thinking of. I can't think of a single example that I could give you or a reason why anyone would care about that.
And the
it's
stuff-
more like you know how Norman Bates pretended his mum was alive?
Yes. Yes.
It's like that.
It's like that.
Nintendo are psychos.
My fucking comparisons are off today.
Mm.
Maybe I just won't try and do any comparisons for 2019.
Okay, just describe something then.
Okay, give me something to describe and I'll do it without comparing it to anything else.
All right. Domino's Meat Lover Pizza.
Okay. Well, it's flat bread.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's not flat bread.
Rounded. No, it's not flat bread. It's flat bread.
It's
I can
not
use
bread.
Space
well,
it's, bars
it's,
still.
It's pizza dough. You wouldn't call it bread.
It's a type of bread. And I would call it
a
bread.
A pizza is a type of bread.
Which is a comparison. All right. I've failed on literally the base. The base of the pizza I've not done.
And also, we hadn't noticed either, so you could have just gotten
away
with that.
I was just saying you were wrong.
Pizza is bread. Pizza is a bread product. The base is...
I mean,
Italy will vindicate me on this. I am right.
Oh, you think the Italians are going to vindicate you
and
on this?
And if Italy
after
joins your side,
everything that you've said about the Italians, they are not backing you up on this.
You know what finger motion they would give me?
Yes,
not the middle one up, a perfect symbol.
Three.
Yeah.
Can you go 5 minutes on this podcast without having to Google something? Are you now looking up is pizza bread?
Yes, I'm typing in is. What I've specifically typed in is P-I capital Z-A bread. Pizza bread is a type of sandwich that is often served open-faced. Oh, that's when you put pizza shit as bread. Okay.
Mamma mia, he's flapping in the wind.
Is pizza classed as bread? The crust is because it is basically a focaccia bread dough. But as far as the toppings go, they are not bread.
There you go.
Who
you can't
wrote
tell
that?
Me that. Someone.
Yeah, some rando. That was not Bellissimo.
Someone who's having a bloody lend.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that argument fell over like a bloody domino.
Okay, he's brought it back to the beginning.
Nice. Fell over like a man tripping over a bench out the front of his apartment.
Who would do that?
Well, I reckon we've got to wrap it up for another week. What
you
do you
reckon?
Say, fellas?
You reckon we're out of things to talk about?
We've not played... Oh, Ben played two, but yeah, it's the new year. We've done you an episode.
Absolutely we have.
Next week, we're going to talk about games of 2019 that we're looking forward to. That's a real one.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll do a bit of a look ahead.
It's going to be a big one.
We had a bit of a break.
A meaty episode.
Guys...
You know what's meaty?
What?
A meat lover's pizza.
Nice.
The Patreon that we're doing weekly now, if you liked listening to us talk about Black Mirror, that's kind of what it is. We're talking about TV shows and music and other stuff.
Generally, I think the loose idea is like other pop culture stuff that we...
And generally stuff that we like.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. It's not... It's basically no negative stuff on that. We're talking about stuff we like, stuff that we're into, stuff we're looking forward to. Movies, TV... Books. I'm halfway through reading Neuromancer by William Gibson, which I mentioned to you guys is like Cyberpunk 2077 has direct references to this book. So I'm really interested in reading this
cool.
cyberpunk novel. So I'll talk about that probably in a couple of weeks.
You tell me.
I've been reading manga.
You've been reading what?
I've been reading manga.
Yeah, nice.
I got a manga app that I've been going in on. One Piece.
Oh, nice.
I've been reading
Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
The original from the start.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's great.
The one where he's a little kid?
Yes.
Yeah, I love that.
You fucking nerds. I've been reading cool books like The Game.
It's going to be us just kind of like, dicking around and, doing...
It's this podcast, but about stuff that isn't video games.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so that means there'll be many weeks where it is indistinguishable from the main podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I guess so. We're just basically doing two podcasts a week.
So filthycasuals.com.au for links to all the bonus sort of stuff that we do and all the socials and everything. Thank you very much for listening. Get on the socials and let us know what you're looking forward to for 2019, and maybe we'll put some of those into our app next week. But until then, thanks for listening, and as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
do you want me to say reference from the show from earlier or non sequitur about a character I'd made up in my own head?
Non sequitur.
Hey, I don't think of this as a bread.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.